Amen. Hallelujah. So, Lord, once again, we convene before your mighty presence, fully aware of your majesty in our midst. We ask that you look kindly upon us and have mercy on every soul that is here to draw strength from you. We ask that you make yourself accessible, make yourself reachable, make yourself discernible, so that we can draw strength to overwhelm our many weaknesses in the name of Jesus Christ. Glorify yourself tonight. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, Pastor said, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of God. The moment he said that, my memory was drawn to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 6. And I began to contemplate the variables of reality that are captured in the temple of God. Now, I'll need to say something quickly. You know, he spoke about the outer court, the holy place, the Holy of Holies. The temple was built to capture. I think I need to tell a story of what happened to me when I went to minister in Zaria. And I met this young man. He was touched after this sermon and he requested for a moment. And I started to hear him out. And he said that once upon a time, because he grew up in the village, he was going to the stream to get water and a spirit suspended in mid-air and spoke with him. So we've been looking for you. We want to give you wisdom. He said, I'm interested in the wisdom. All right. So the spirit gave him 3 alligator pepper. That in order for us to have this discussion, you need to go high. So you are on a flat land. But when you take the pepper, you will ascend. And then we'll be able to give you this wisdom. Well, at the end of the day, at the end of the discussion, he was given the technology of how to construct a shrine. And the idea of constructing a shrine, and it will interest you to know that the temple is a shrine. The idea of a shrine is based upon spiritual technology. And what I mean by that is the ability to mirror the dimensions of a spirit, the realm in which a spirit operates. You mirror it in the physical. You know, you will need wisdom to achieve that, but it is achievable. When you mirror the dimension of that spirit in the physical, the spirit will be able to descend into that location that mirrors his realm. And it will look as though he didn't change realm. So with that technology, you can trap the dimensions of the spirit down. Because the idea of a shrine is a physical location where you can contact a spiritual thing. So the technology that was used to build the temple was a technology that captured not just the, it captured the offices of men, human ministers. Their offices were captured. It captured the offices of angelic beings. It captured the offices of cherubims. It captured the office of God, all in one building.
Think about it.
So it means that the idea of the design of the temple is suggestive of the fact that as you are carrying out your own priesthood, you should bump into Angel Michael.
You are not following me. I just wanted to support my brother. That's not part of the syllabus. I'm just supporting.
He said something that struck me, so I want to. So as you are doing your own human ministry, your office is captured. There is allowance to capture your office and all of its dynamics. But the offices of angels are captured. So as you are doing your own ministry, it is customary for you to bump into an angel. As you are doing your own ministry, it is customary for you to encounter a cherubim. Because all of their offices are captured within the framework of the design of the temple. And that's how you, as a temple, was designed. I don't have time to go into the details of the embroidery of the temple that occasions the possibility of you to operate in dimension. You see, it's not every part of the realm of heaven that is the same. There are deeper dimensions even in heaven. And that's what the temple speaks about. You see, outer court, inner court, holy of holies. Okay, let me show you something quickly. Give me my phone. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Quickly. Are you there in Luke 1? Okay, so let us begin the reading from verse 5. Luke 1, 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the house of Abia. And his wife was one of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all his commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both well stricken in years. And it came to pass while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot or his assignment, his office, accommodated the burning of incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. All right, so that's what his office accommodated. And there are utensils and furniture in the temple that accommodated his office. That was his Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zacharias saw him and was troubled, and fear fell upon him. And the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall neither drink wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? What he's asking for is a sign. For I'm an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. Now, I'd like you to hear Gabriel's response. Oh, my God. All right. 19. And the angel answered and said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and I'm sent to give unto thee, to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings, and behold, thou shalt be dumb, not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. He introduces himself and he says, I am Gabriel. I am that Gabriel that stands in the presence of God. So the first question I have for you is, where was Zechariah? Zechariah, was he in the market? Where was Zechariah? In the presence of God. But the thing about the place where Gabriel was operating from and the place where Zechariah was operating from, differences in dimension. In the same plane, the same realm of reality. Zechariah was in the place where prayer was manufactured. That's where his own assignment, his own priesthood was operating from. Gabriel was operating from the place where prayers are answered. Now, you will understand, therefore, that their exposure to reality was different. The things that they encountered in their place was different. There was something about the presence of God, obviously, that Gabriel knew that Zechariah did not know because of where he was operating from. I am Gabriel. He had to introduce himself afresh. That stands in the presence of God. I was there when God decreed that your wife will have a child. Meanwhile, it is because of I am Gabriel. Because he didn't go back to heaven to get authority to make him dumb. He had requisite authority because he is Gabriel. Now, you see, the things you encounter, the things you can handle, depends on where you operate from. Because your spirit was designed to be able to accommodate the office of God. In fact, Paul even said that we should not know any man according to the flesh. We must know him according to the witness from the sanctuary. If you are accurate in dispensing your duty as a priest, you will stumble. There's a likelihood that you will stumble into the angelic domain. It will become common for you to have angelic visitations. It's just that these things are in different places. And in order for you to travel to some of these places, you will need to ride on a certain type of grace. So what makes one believer different from another believer is that he has access to a certain kind of grace that gives him entrance into corridors in the spirit. I am Gabriel. I am Gabriel that stands in the presence of God. Then that description of who he was quite similar to the kind of description that Elijah gave concerning himself. I am Elijah. Elijah. He said, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand. It was as if Elijah had access to the same place that Gabriel had. That's what makes Elijah
There's a little place that is given to me in the presence of God for me to stand. It is from there that I speak. When I command the heavens to be locked up, I speak from my standing position. Government issues out of that place. And fortunately for me, I was able to secure small space there. And that's where I stand. Now, this man was able to change the weather. He was able to call fire from heaven. And all of those things he could do was because of where he was. I heard the story of the great prophet Babalola. I heard it. And I heard it from someone that was there. Huh? Because even though he was a very little child, he challenged witches. Similar thing that Elijah did. And then they decided to meet at a certain spot. He gave the witches from morning to evening to kill him. So when the time now reached, it was his own turn. The first thing he did to introduce his time was that he cried Jesus, and physical fire fell from heaven, and it was on camera. They caught it on camera and consumed the witchcraft tree, the tree that was their entry point. They had consecrated that tree to witchcraft. So there were dimensions in the dark realm that the tree was the entry point into. It was that tree that came under flames because a man cried Jesus. Now, it has nothing to do with the man's height or the family the man has come from. It has everything to do with where he's standing. So if we look at your life and the things that you can command unto Zion, if you have capacity and you can command deliverances unto Zion, some of us that are researchers will begin to research where is he standing. It is only when you have access to where he's standing that you know his rank. A man's rank is not a function of how many years he has been in ministry. As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand. So the dimensions of God are available to us. Because we have become that temple. The presence of God has left that physical temple and is inside of your spirit now. And that's how God designed that inner realm. There are some things that God is even saying, but you cannot hear. He's saying it in your spirit. Because you have not started your journeys in Christ, you can't even perceive what he's saying. And that is the proof that you are not yet alive unto God. You are a believer. We don't doubt it. But you are not alive unto God because your spiritual senses have not been calibrated to be able to perceive the transmissions of God. There was once in the life of Samuel when he did not yet know the law. It was not as if God was not speaking, but God was speaking using the voice of Eli, his master. And the reason for that convenient approach was because Samuel's spiritual senses were not yet modified to discern the law. He had a destiny to know the law. He had a destiny to capture the dimensions of God. But as at 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 7, the commentary about this prophet was that he did not yet know the Lord. He couldn't discern the Lord. It means his spiritual senses were weak. He had not exercised his spirit enough for him to understand the definiteness of discernment that comes by the Holy Ghost. If you don't know the Lord, you don't stand any chance. I need to tell you the way it is. Because in the flesh, you attain to your least potential. It is in the spirit that you attain to your greatest potential. And if you have not made effort to invest in your spirit enough in order for you to be able to realize the full capacity that is therein,
You are not likely to survive in a day of battle. If you go to the book of Romans chapter 6, you are going to see, for each reality that God does in your spirit man, there's an expectation. For instance, the Bible reveals that the operating system through which our Christian life runs is the very spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And the moment it comes into your heart, the expectation of heaven is that you will live what the Bible calls the newness of life. If he calls it the newness of life, it means you don't know it. You don't know the life that you are capable of on the account of that investment. The Holy Spirit is saying to you that you don't know how to live. But when I come into your heart, I will teach you the new life. Many of us are satisfied with the idea that I'm born again. For every strand of investment, there is an expectation. At this point, what is expected is the newness of life. Then he went further to reveal to us in verse 11. When you begin to walk in the newness of life, the next thing that opens up to you is that your spiritual senses becomes active. That's when the Bible describes your condition as being alive unto God. Are you there? After he brings us to the point where the expectation now is that you become alive unto God, your response is based on God's response on your inside. That's the proof that you are alive unto God. You are doing the works of God. The things that play out in your life are the things that God is doing in the workshop of your heart. Because the Bible says that it is God that works in us both to will and to do according to his own good pleasure. So his workshop is within you. And when you can discern him, the Bible says he's the one responsible for giving you desires and giving you grace to accomplish these desires. So that you are not just alive unto him, you begin to live for him. And you see, at every point in time when there's an investment inside, there's supposed to be a corresponding external manifestation. When you got baptized in the Holy Spirit, the initial evidence was that you spoke in tongues. That's how every strand of mileage that you gain in spirit territory has a commensurate manifestation externally. So a lot of people are excited that they are born again. I'm born again. Wake up. If you are not alive unto God, you will not profit from your position. You will remain a victim. You remain someone that is under the weight of Satan's claw. Because you don't know yet how to profit with God. You have not labored to come to that point of profit. Paul says we need to take root and we need to be grounded. That means we need to journey into God until we are anchored in God the same way roots of plants are anchored in air. And that will not happen because you make confessions in the morning. That will happen because you pay the price to be intimate with God. You believe in him enough to obey him until your life now depends on him absolutely. So there's a progression. The things you can handle is where you operate from. It's determined by where you operate. And God will never allow you to encounter things beyond your pay grade because you abuse them. You are not, your reality is not from that point. Meanwhile, the island of God is a vast place. There are even corridors for carnal people. Yeah, you want to operate with your senses and with your human wisdom, the outer court is still there for you. All right, you operate with what you studied as a chemist. There's a place for you. There's a place for you. That's the level of civilization that you desire. Oh my God. For life, you can't even fully and exhaustively enjoy the possibilities of grace that are at that level. It's so vast that you cannot fully consume it. But people that are travelers,
I'm talking about the guys that explore God the way astronauts explore space. They know that they cannot exhaustively enjoy the goodwill, the mercy of God, the compassion of God that is even in the outer court. But they want the best that God can offer. So they are ready to journey and to pay the price of consecration. Because God will not make you strong by accident. You will pay a price that will make it obvious to you, because God knows all things. Make it obvious to you that the reason why I'm doing this is because I know that I have no other hope apart from God. It means you have arrived at a place of no return. If they don't pay your salary, you still work with God. If you are sick, you will still pray. If you are broke, you will still hold on to Him. If, you know, our cousins, whether they are broke, they pray. Whether they are sick, they pray. If they are in jail, they pray. They use prayer mat in jail. But you know, when things go bad, that's where you want to operate from. No, the grace will cover you, and Pastor Sunday is a powerful preacher. Even the one on his life, some of it will be coming to you. You'll be getting by. You'll be getting by with your struggles, and you'll be managing. I want to go to the large place. There was something that Elijah boasted about that I want to be able to say in my lifetime. As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand. It was, his declarations were based on the things that he shared with God, the things he had seen in those secret chambers of God, where God will rise up and sleep. He saw something. As he lives. There is a message that Idahusa preached. He said, think it not incredible that God will raise the dead. Since he died, nobody has preached that message. You know why? He preached it from a place where he was standing. Have you heard him say, if I be a man of God? When last did you hear that? Meanwhile, you can go and try it on Sunday morning. Nothing will happen. So help me pray to your neighbor. Where are you standing? Where are you? If Gabriel could tell Zechariah that I am Gabriel that stands before the presence of God, he knew that Zechariah was not in that place. He was aware. You are not there. You are not in that place where I'm standing. It's from that place that I bring you these glad tidings. And you have refused to believe them. Because of that, you will be dumb. And he didn't take permission from God to do that. It means that there is requisite authority that is available to you based on where you stand. Based on where you stand. I built a small house, and when the company handed over the house to me, my own local engineer came and said, there is no lightning arrest in this house. And these gadgets that you have put here is going to suck lightning, to suck thunder. So I went and called the guy in my city that does those kind of jobs. And I told him that I've been holding the rain. He didn't believe me. That I've been holding the rain until the lightning arrestor is fixed. He didn't believe. So he came. He didn't finish the first day. He went. He did as if it would rain. Then he finished the second day. The moment he finished, it began to rain. And I was not in town. He now sent me a message that, were you joking when? were you joking when you made that statement? Or I said, there's nothing I explain to you that you understand. So let's just leave the matter. Have you finished? He said the reason why he's communicating is because the moment he finished the last aspect of it, I know where I stand. Satan cannot stand up today and say, I will kill you by 9 p.m. It's not given unto him. He doesn't have a position that guarantees that utterance. It will become a lie. Because it's not given unto him. There are some people that some things are given to because of where they stand. Some are before the altar of incense. And they are making incense available. Making tongues available. And it's accumulating. It's accumulating. Some others have gone beyond that. If all you have are tongues, well, you are welcome, but you are still learning. Some people use that tongue as a vehicle to latch onto the transportation system that is in the realm. When I say that, you think I'm joking. Let me show you something before I move to one point, just the real point for the evening. Revelation chapter 4. So human offices are captured. The pastoral office is captured. But depending on where you are standing, you can be in your pastoral office. And then you collide with angelic witness. You collide with messengers. Those messengers come to whisper to you. This is breaking news in heaven. Then you discover that even your teaching messages are prophetic. There was an encounter you had that occasioned that emphasis. God wants to suck you into his realm. And the more he sucks you in, the more the price that you need to pay in terms of consecration is heightened. If a glory that you don't have the consecration to handle comes on you, it will bring pain to your body. This is your body. To bring pain on it. If the Senate in the heavens, and this Senate that I speak about has angelic thrones, it has human thrones, and it has the divine throne. That's the conclave where decrees over nations are made. So you can be called a prophet over your city if you have a seat in that Senate. All right? And that's what gives you authority. Do you realize, sir, that because of the priesthood that is going on here, there are some ministers of the gospel in this territory that are operating under the spiritual covering you are providing, but they don't know. There are some people that their presence in some territories provides spiritual covering for people doing priesthood in those territories. The reason why demons are not attacking them every Friday is because there is something that is happening overhead that secures their own operation. You will never know the truth until you see from inside. You will never know the structure of the body of Christ. Some people make noise. I checked to look for them. They were not there. They had no location. They're just making noise. Depends on where you're standing. Tonight, we want to generate corporate energy because we are strongest when we are together like this. And there are some territorial battles that are not meant for one man. That's the reason why John the Baptist died. He was trying to provide priesthood for something that the devil had an army facilitating their agenda in the territory, but he was the only one standing. You understand? You cannot contend with something that is occasioned by a legion. You can't contend with it as an individual. So there are some warfares that are meant for the corporate house. If we do it as a corporate house, we can bring something down from this place. So we're going to practice some of those things and this night, and then we'll see how much progress we'll make in the territory. Now you are the temple. And you were constructed in such a way as to capture your own priesthood and also to capture the dimensions that are available. Where you are standing in the court of God will determine the kind of personalities that you encounter. So let me leave it there. When you see John the Baptist, John the Beloved on the Isle of Patmos, you know, when he heard a voice sounding like a trumpet, the Bible says that he turned to see the voice that spoke to him. Are you there? And being turned, he saw one like unto the Son of Man in the midst of seven golden candlesticks. Now, help me. Where was John standing? If John had to turn back in order for him to see Jesus in the midst of the church. Oh, you didn't get that. He was in the Holy of Holies. That was where his own stand was. Because he had to turn back to see the menorah, which is the seven golden candlesticks. And he realized that Jesus was walking in the midst of those candlesticks. So his stand was in the Holy of Holies. And that's where he got the book of Revelation from. If you are in the outer court, you are going to see by sunlight. If you are in the holy place, you will see by candlelight. If you are in the Holy of Holies, you will see by Shekinah illumination. I don't want to do church in the outer court. Church of marketing, church of management. No. No. That's the American way. I want to bring some things from the inner chamber. It is possible for your voice to be strange in the land. Not because you are trying to be strange. It's just that you saw with a different light. Your witness, your testimony will suggest what light you are using. What light are you using? And sometimes you are making the wrong friends because there's no light. The people you are trying to connect with are the people that they marking. You know how they do mark for the demolition. Heaven has put a mark, and then you are taking seed. No light. No light. No light. So let me give you small light before I read the one scripture. Then I'll round up. There will be a swift judgment that will pass through the body of Christ shortly. And the reason for this judgment that is going to pass through the body of Christ is because God wants to restore the apostolic order. We have had a charade for a very long time, and only very few ministers in Nigeria are accurate. They paid a price to develop a relationship with God when it wasn't popular so to do. Because ministry metrics has evolved. And a certain man whose salvation was questioning was able to do ministry to the point of global recognition. That means it is possible to do ministry without Jesus and be big and blow. So the metrics, the parameters for judging success in ministry changed when a lot of variables were altered. And God began his work of judgment to clean the house. Some people that don't have any business dying will die this year. The reason is because of the efforts of the Lord to clean his house. And that's why I'm saying you need light to clean his house. He wants to do something to the church in Nigeria, and it is concluded and sealed in the heavens. And because of that, there are 70 ministers that God has sealed also that will herald the dimensions of God from the throne room and bring, saturate the perspectives of God in the church in Nigeria. There are 70 of them that are sealed from heaven. The greatest mistake you will make is to fight any of these 70 men. You will begin to go down. And many, listen, are you here with me? I just feel liberty to talk now. When you fight any of these men, because their voices will not be contemporary, will not be normal, when you fight them, because many people will be poised to fight, then you will see deaths will begin to take place. Watch it. These deaths will continue from this year, the ending of this year, to continue next year with more intensity, because God wants to clean up. It sounds a lot of people have done so many things in the name of church. Wounded lives, marginalized souls, committed atrocities, have threatened people. It's not the hand of man that will fight now. It's the hand of God. Listen to me. When God begins that, God will begin to also look at our political space. The hand of God will come on it. These are the two things that will happen very soon. You will see the judgment of God conspicuously, obviously, in the body of Christ. Some will become wise and they will repent and the Lord will accept them. Some others will lose their lives. I'm talking about from now till this time next year. And God, in the fullness of time, we visit Nigeria. The prayers we prayed were not in vain. God, we what? We visit Nigeria. That's how much I have liberty to talk about. All right, that's that for temple. Colossians. Chapter 1, verse 16. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. If you have read the book of Colossians before, the theme, the grand theme of the book of Colossians is Christ the preeminent. Christ the preeminent. Because it is under his office and under his administration that the life of the believer is placed. It is that office that is intended by God to manipulate your life and bring it into conformity with the counsel of God's will. That office is equipped with all it takes to make you exactly what God has ordained you to be. How many of you still remember the great confession of Peter? Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Son of the living God. Those are two different things. The Christ is his office. The Christ talks about his portfolio. The Christ talks about his administration, his ministry. The Son of the living God is his person. That's who we are. He is. Right? So those are two aspects of his life. If you want to know about the Son of the living God, you need to go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, and read about the definition of the Son of God. But when we talk about the Christ, we're talking about an office. An office that releases the spiritual energy that is designed to support us in order for us to have capacity to prosecute the mandate of God for our lives. It is that office that makes available to us all that is required for life, for living, and for godliness. It's that administration. And I don't want to take you through so many scriptures. Like 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning from verse 30 to 31, you will see that office can become anything that the believer needs in order for him to prosecute the counsel of God for his life. That office
can become light. That office can become your salvation. That office can become wisdom. Are you there? Through that office, wisdom can be administered. Everything that you need for sufficiency in life and ministry is administered through that office. That's the context in which the life of the believer is placed. That's your new reality. Right? So the first thing about the new life is that you have new resources, you have a new context. And your new context is the administration that is powered by the office of the Christ. That administration is the basis of our sufficiency in the new creation. It is that administration that is designed to swallow up every form of insufficiency that came along with your humanity. Are you there? And so we have such an administration. Eminent Christ, as the grand theme of the book of Colossians. Paul, in his presentation, in trying to bring us to this understanding, now introduces us to a few realities as he presented them in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, beginning from verse 12. Now, follow my reading carefully. He says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. If we want to talk about the inheritance of the saints in light, it will take us a long time. So, the Bible says that we need to labor in thanksgiving because God qualified us to be partakers of a certain strand of inheritance that is only open to the saints of God. And that inheritance is in light. I don't want to go there. Next verse. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son? So from verse 14 now, he begins to speak about his son. Verse 12 speaks about the Father and the efforts that the Father had made. And then verse 14 begins to speak about his dear son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. This is the first thing that is spoken about his son. It means that in this administration, we have access to redemption. We have access to forgiveness. And it's interesting to know that it's only in Christianity, among all the millions of religions that are in the world, that can boast of forgiveness. And I speak as a researcher. You can try to research too. There is no religion on earth that promises forgiveness. No one. Next verse. Who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every creature. By him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, whether what? Visible or invisible. Next verse. Alright, so he now gives us a list of things that he created. One, thrones. Two, dominions. Three, principalities. Four, do you notice, even though he said things that were created, either visible or invisible, on this list, only invisible things were mentioned. Are you still with me? You are not following me. All right. Let's start with thrones. That's the only one we'll talk about today. Thrones. Okay. Thrones. Whether they be thrones or dominions. Principalities. Of powers. Are you seeing how the realm is? It's a realm of many dignitaries. You see, the nature of the kingdom of God is thus. God's kingdom is the only kingdom that is a kingdom of king and kings.
his only kingdom. Other kingdoms, the ones we have seen modeled among men, king and subjects. But God's kingdom is a kingdom of kings and kings. So there are many thrones. That's the shape of the realm. There are thrones, there are dominions, there are authorities. That's how his kingdom is, because it's a kingdom of kings and kings. There is an authority structure that is in this kingdom. When you see, when Moses died, and Satan wanted to go, I don't know what business Satan wanted to do with Moses' body. I don't know what he had in mind. I'm still trying to investigate. And I want to say it with biblical backing. I've not found it, so I can't comment on that. What did Satan have in mind? And then angel Michael, who happens to be the warrior spirit in heaven, was dispatched. But the angel Michael could not rebuke Satan because of the authority that Satan was carrying. He was carrying Adamic authority, and that was higher than angelic authority. If you want to study, find out. The Bible says we will judge angels, so that suggests hierarchy. I don't have time to do this work. I don't have time to do this work, but let me stop there. So he couldn't rebuke Satan. What he did was that he said, the Lord rebuke, invoked the name of the Lord and directed his authority as Satan. That was how he was able to defeat Satan from taking over Moses' body. Do you realize that when you begin to grow in the spirit, the level of temptation that you have is regulated by God? Do you realize? Oh, the Bible says God will not allow you to be tempted much more than you have capacity to bear. That is suggestive of the fact that the devils you will encounter at your level. Those types that is food they give you to eat in the night, that's all they do. Food. If you check your Bible, you are going to find out that Satan himself came only against three men. Came against Job. He came against Jesus. And he came against Apostle Paul. The only three men in the entire Bible that Satan himself came against. Because what you see from the kingdom of darkness is consistent with your level in the spirit. Because it's God that regulates temptation and ensures that you are not tempted beyond what you can bear. So God knows your tensile stress. He knows your tensile strength capacity. And he doesn't allow you to be stretched beyond what you have capacity to contain. There's a message I preached one time about the regulator. That's when I preached about regulating temptation. Regulating. So there are a few things that God regulates in order to create a balance in the ecosystem. Do you realize that the Bible says in the book of John chapter 14 verse 30, the prince of this world cometh. So, what exactly is the war of thrones like when thrones contend? When authorities in light are made to contend with authorities in darkness, how is the fight like? What can you survive? What is the extent of your survival instinct? For some here, it is your marriage that delayed and you're already threatening that you will backslide. You don't need Satan. Your case is not Satan that is handling your case. Your case is demons that are under training that they are using for your own case. Demons in training are the ones they sent.
the prince of this world cometh, and he found nothing in me. It means that when thrones fight, they sell their products. And they see how many of their products you are going to accept and begin to work with. When they come, and I tell you they come. What determines who rises and who falls is who is in custody of their product. What do you know about your city, Lagos? What do you know about your city, Abuja? God took me on a lecture, gave me insight about the prince of my own territory. That he commands the hordes of seducing spirits. That if you sleep with one of these ladies, and they are extremely beautiful, and they are looking for you. You know this oil we have, they are not afraid of it. Many people are afraid when they see us. Those ones are not afraid. Because it's the assignment to bring us down. They say when you touch any of these sexually, you have reduced your lifespan to this age. Because you might touch it and nothing happens until the prince of the territory comes for ward round. You know, a doctor, there is a time he comes for ward round to check every patient. You'll be doing well with fornication. You'll be doing well with immorality until the prince decides to come. And before you become a giant, before you become a general, you'll be tested by a prince at least once, at least. So now I have liberty to tell you a story. When the prince came to test me, this was how I started. We went on a deliverance. And I know demons because I see them. Most of them are like monkeys. Some are like dogs. Four-footed. The face may be different, but is in the likeness of a dog. Especially the ones that are in charge of driving sex. They are like dogs. I've seen them. So I deal with them. Once in a while, he opens my eyes. I see them, so I know how they look like. So that's in my own diary of devils. That's how they are. Until we went for this deliverance. What was it about? I don't want to mention the name of the city. Some of you are from there. In that city, the scepter of witchcraft that was used as the first peg of witchcraft in that city was given by the Oba of Benin himself. I'm talking about things in centuries ago. So the current person that was manning that sisterhood of witches, because they are only women, that sisterhood of witches, she was 87 years old at the time. And then they initiated this new intent into witchcraft. She looked at all of them and she designed that only one of them had the capacity to inherit her scepter. So he brought that one close and began to give her education. When the first consignment of demons that were supposed to introduce her into the world of demons so that she would be more comfortable with demonic interference than human interference. When the first set of demons were released to bring her that orientation, those of you that know Kogi State, she walked on foot from Ayangba to Lokoja. Think of it. Well, if you don't know Kogi State, you don't know what I'm talking about. But she walked on foot from Ayangba to Lokoja. And then they told me the name of the pastors that tried to cast out those devils. Names with her. The devils didn't go. I was in 300 level when I was confronted with that deliverance case.
as I was asking the demon to leave, the demon stepped out of her and did like this. And his head was high into the heavens. I was speaking in tongues as we normally do. It didn't affect the spirit. And he was looking at me. And I could see him clearly. And we were two trying to do the deliverance. The other brother was not seeing what. High into the heavens with eyes. The face was like one of these cats. But he had the body of a human. And he looked at me. And he told me, not by speaking, through his thoughts. He told me, he said, when we have the advantage over you, you will not survive. So I now told the demon, back, why not now? Strike now, now. Strike now. Why are you looking for another time of fighting? We're already in it. The demon left. The lady was delivered. The mom went and gave thanksgiving in church. Satan waited for 9 years. I thought he had forgotten. He met me in Lagos. When that spirit comes to my house, blood begins to drain out of my body. Learn how to pray now. Listen to me. Those were the days when I prayed to survive. I prayed to live. So when I see my blood draining, I go on my knees and I begin to pray for like 4 hours, 5 hours before the thing will leave. And when it leaves, I'm drained. The next night it will come. I combated it for 9 months. You know the prince of this world? He will come. You think ministry is a joke? You think it's about holding the microphone and becoming popular and trending? Listen to me. I've told you. There are many that will die. Some on the pulpit before the close of this year. My blood began to drain out. I realized that if I go for a meeting outside Lagos, I'll be free. So even if you are trying to invite me, I will come. I will be there. I'll pay for my ticket. Because when I'm outside, I can sleep. I say, Jesus. So I every weekend that I could afford to be out, even though we're doing offshore jobs, every weekend that I could afford to be out of Lagos, I escaped. One of those days. So I know I will fight for Monday, I fight for Tuesday, I fight for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I escape. Sometimes there's work. There's offshore work. There's work for one whole month. So that month, I'm fighting throughout. And those are not things that you tell your wife. One time I was doing the fight, and I saw my pastor in Kaduna. I saw the spirit. He left me for a moment, and he went to Kaduna trying to take my pastor's wife. Because she was about to deliver, she began to bleed, and death was coming. I called him, I said, your wife will not die. Be strengthened. But I didn't tell him what was going on. So the wife survived and he was thanking me. Meanwhile, I was still in the fight. I took an invitation and went to Enugu to rest. Not because of the meeting. I can preach. I can tell them something. To just rest my head. And as I was getting ready to sleep, a beast came to that room in Enugu. Say, Jesus Christ. That was a day. Jesus allowed me for 9 months. He didn't show up. That was the day he showed up. It was from that day that I can say to, from the weapons he gave me that day, my rank was increased because that prince came. The reason why he could not kill me was that in the 9-year window he gave me, I never touched any woman. And I knew that this entity is stronger than me, but it could not destroy me because he had nothing in me. That was how I got the promotion that made my voice to be heard. This revelation, I've been teaching it since nobody heard me. That was what led to the change in my rank. And I've been from nation to nation. Witches in Zimbabwe say you are dead already. You are dead. And I've heard that in Warri. I've heard it in Kenya. I've heard it in Botswana. I've heard it in Makurdi. The reason why it is not going to happen is because the lecture Jesus gave me about my city and how to survive it. It's a long lecture. If I have liberty, maybe next time, we'll go into that lecture. What Jesus told me. These are the days where only men that have secrets with God can survive. It's not about your bow tie. The throne came. That's the valid means of increase in authority. The moment Jesus discomfited the devil in the wilderness, the Bible says he came out of the wilderness. What? Oh, he came out with what? In the power of the Holy Spirit. And his fame spread abroad. So God is now willing to give him visibility because the thing in the land was not as strong as it was. Because God will not give you visibility that will make you crippled. And after you finish preaching, you come house, come home, half of your body is paralyzed. The visibility that will come because you know the language of the world truth. Now, I don't have time to go on. I should have taken you to the book of Matthew chapter 4. If I have release tomorrow, I will do that. If not, we'll move to the next one and show you how the war of thrones, what it's about. We're going to pray so that we can enter into practical. I have 22 minutes for practicals. The authority you wield is an indication of your rank. So I will give a command shortly. And anyone that Satan has bound, you will have to release them. Now, that's authority. That's authority. If I can say what I will say in the name of Jesus, even on the airplane, there will be miracles. That's authority. You don't have that authority if you have not subdued the prince that locks in the territory of your mission. Can we pray in the spirit for 2 minutes? Just take any position that is convenient for you, sitting or standing. It's not compulsory for you to stand. Just make sure you are connected. We want to gain ascendancy. We want to mobilize the power of the ecclesia. Mio sekilambro. Kisko falamina iteli. Jovela proskopende heke sobina brahalata. Babrimos abalandos. Kiso seko brevo latos. Kiso sanali brahatala. Uprekento mila hasi. Yelo bombra hisko fabambila haske tobina itoba. Mebro konse seke bandi kubriheve kaskita. That's what determines whether it is light that rules or darkness that rules. That's what determines if the heavens can trust you with a throne.
for you to become an authority in the territory that God has planted you. You will need the keys of the kingdom of heaven to unlock things, to release things, because you have been approved and a throne has been assigned unto you. Let us make haste to depart from babyhood Christianity. Let us make haste to climb in the rankings of the Spirit. Let us make haste and learn the ways of consecration. For the Lord has chosen Nigeria from the sons and daughters of our land. He will replenish the gap in our missionary manpower. Something is determined for Nigeria. And that's why we need to make haste to climb. Make haste to gain ascendancy. Because God is about to position you where He has called you, where He has placed you. Samone mama mama mama. Ilamo male. Seniale. Seniale. Esto sena makanilato. Le mama lahama. Heminale. Sigo mombre kamaite mama. Womena. Ye kano brostande ma. Womena de de. Saino broske sanate. Ye so sondeli. Ye bromoske sta soma. Womena lele. Sufaleria bamae kamo. Se compresi. I see la bomba la mora. Somina lele. E kaila mamoke samila. Mande. E si koma mandalo. Somina lele. E mina lele. Saile male. Resco fila hande male. Sumina lele. Thank you, Jesus. Yei la mamoma. We give you praise and glory. In the name of Jesus. If you are a minister of the gospel in this room, let me give you an expo. The Lord is calling His church to holiness. He's calling us back. He's calling us back. Blazing holiness. Blazing holiness. He's calling us back. He's saying, come back. Come back. Come back. Come back. I see 7 lamps lit in the spirit. And this is the grace of a watchman. The grace of a watchman. There are 7 watchmen that the Lord wants to commission with higher authority, higher visibility, higher impact. The grace of a watchman. The grace of a watchman. Now just keep quiet. Don't worry. Just keep quiet. Because the Lord will pass. He will anoint 7 watchmen. He will anoint 7 watchmen in the moment of time. He will anoint 7 watchmen. He's passing. He's passing. He's passing. He's passing. In fact, the anointing is beginning to intensify. It's intensifying. He will anoint 7 of them. 7 of them. 7 of them. 7. Okay, it's coming even stronger. Yet stronger. Yet stronger. 7 of them will receive an anointing. And if I will give you an insight into the workings of this anointing, 7 of them will receive an anointing. And if you can decide to begin to keep the night watches, say, oh my God, there's an intensity. Because 7 watchmen will arise, and the Lord will give you the privilege to have a standing before His presence, like Elijah did. So the Lord wants to heal eyes now. Eyes. He wants to heal eyes. And so if you are using, hallelujah, if you are using reading glasses, you can take them off. Lay your hands on your eyes. Using reading glasses, you can take them off. Lay your hands on your eyes quickly. Lay your hands on your eyes. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind every blinding spirit. Blinding spirits, be bound. I said, be bound. And come out of their eyes in the name of Jesus. Come out of their eyes in the name of Jesus. I rebuke those blinding spirits. I rebuke them. Come out in Jesus' mighty name. I release their healing anointing upon their eyes. Let it begin to effect a cure. Let it begin to restore sight. Now I say to you, eyes, eyes, see, eyes, see, eyes, see, in the name of Jesus. So God has already healed you. You can check the eyes. Remove your hands. Check the eyes quickly. If you notice there's a healing, there's a change. Come to me quickly, especially those two. Come to me quickly. You may sit. If you notice there's a change.
He still left my eyes immediately. I removed my hands from my eyes.
Okay. Now, what is it that you couldn't do before?
I can't read letters that are not bold.
Have you tried yourself?
Yes.
With some reading?
Yes. Can I see Yamaha?
You see Yamaha, yeah?
Motive,
yeah? Okay. Yeah, so come. Yeah? Yeah?
Yeah, my eyes, I normally see blurry.
Okay.
Yeah, I use glasses well. At some point, I was like, I'm tired of using the glasses, so.
Now, is there clarity in your vision?
Yes.
So what could you not read before or see before that you can see now?
I don't see from a far distance, like it's usually blurry.
Have you tried it out?
Yes.
Okay, so. Oh, no, it's not the class I'm looking for. Wait. These people that are healed, this is the only way I will know who God wants to give what He wants to give. Alright, so. Can I pray for you? So I just touch you here. Then I touch you here. Touch you here. And I touch you here. Yeah, here, and here. So, my hands, even though I've removed them, they are on two of them now. My hands are on them. And what God is releasing to them is flowing. It's flowing. And it's flowing stronger. It's flowing stronger. There's something that the Lord is giving you from my life. Somebody's eyes again have been healed. Someone's eyes have been healed. I see that in the spirit. It's flowing into you. Be empowered. Be strengthened.
in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh my God. Be empowered, be strengthened in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, your eyes can see now. Did you try them out?
Yes, sir.
Some of these spectacles are so fine that the people can't even release them. So what was wrong with your eyes?
It goes bad, and the words are tiny. So when I use it, it makes the words bold.
No, wait. So my hand will remain on your head. You also can read?
Yeah.
Did you try reading?
I tried.
Was it successful?
Yeah. Yes.
So you see, she had this on. Oh, the Lord. One of you will... Hey, there's an anointing on my head. One of you here will receive it. Somebody is receiving it as I'm talking to you. It's coming out of my head. It's coming out of my head. It's coming even stronger out of my head. One of you will receive it. One of you will receive it. It's shut up. You can see?
Yeah, I can see clearly without the glasses. I tried putting it on now, it became blurry.
Okay, try. He wanted to reverse the protocol. But... Lord, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Did you try reading?
Yes, sir.
With success?
With success, sir.
We give you glory in the name of Jesus. So it's two of you that he was talking about. Now, what I'm releasing to you, what I'm releasing to you will give you the ability that the Lord gave me, which is that of a watchman. If you can keep two watches, that's just in the night, you become wise by the Holy Spirit. Yes. All the things you are looking for solutions about, you will need to look for solutions. Because the Lord is going to become wisdom unto you. In the name of Jesus. Yeah?
Before now, I usually use this glass to see far, because seeing far is blur. But after the second prayer, I found out that I can see clearly now.
You can see far clearly.
Yes.
Somebody celebrate Jesus. So if I shake you, you can go back. There's a blessing. Yeah. I say, Mahambala, Sophia Salim, or Price Gato. Praise. There's a fountain of increase. You stumble into a place where there is increase. So there'll be manifestations of increase around your life. Oh, are your eyes better?
Yes, sir.
Were you using glasses before?
Yes, sir.
Was it for short-sightedness or for long-sightedness?
For long-sightedness.
And you can see long-sightedness. That means you can see far. Huh? You can see far. So you can see far now.
Very far.
Very far. Someone's womb is being opened. Someone's womb. It's been open. Someone's womb has been open. And I'm sensing the anointing. The anointing to perform that is on my head. I sense it. And the womb of God is working something. He's working it out now. He's working something out. Oh my God. There's an intensity. The Lord opens a womb. He opens a womb. He opens the womb. He opens the womb. Yes, he opens the womb. He opens it. 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 In the name of
Jesus.
So, about 4 babies have already been released. He opens the womb. He opens the womb. You know, okay, you know her. No, she has written. You know, I don't know whether I should be saying it. I'm seeing you with a megaphone. And the Lord is revealing to me that it will begin to increase the volume of your voice in this city. Yeah. I'm seeing that. I'm seeing that. I'm seeing that. Hallelujah. He calls us to holiness. He calls us to holiness. We're in Ethiopia because of Ethiopia Airways. And there are 2 lifts, lift A and lift B at Skylight Hotel. We came to lift B and saw strange ladies. A lot of people were interested. The reason why I cannot be interested is because Jesus told me about my city. There's unfinished warfare. And in order for me to be fit to fight, my vessel, my garment must be white. That's how I'm going to take it back to him when my job is done. As long as it is not stained, I cannot be defeated in battle. So the products they were displaying was not for me. I'm even more strict when I'm away from home than when I'm at home. If you meet me outside, I'm not like this. We might not need to shake. That is, if I don't know you, I won't shake you. Because I'm conscious of where I'm doing ministry. There are laws that govern operations in that land. So when God begins to try an anointing on your life, all right, and you steward that anointing adequately, a time comes when God assigns you to a throne. It means you have stewarded that anointing properly. You have not used it to take advantage. You have not used it to manipulate. You have used it to serve the body of Christ. You'll be recommended for an upgrade. Then you can be assigned to a throne. If you are a teacher, for instance, and you are assigned to a throne, when you begin to teach, people will say, this is the authentic teacher. It's not as if you are going around broadcasting that. No. People will just say, no, this one. You know why? Because he has authority. He has been recognized. He has been elevated in the realm of truth. The more you serve God without drawing attention to yourself, and serving God in such a way that God is glorified through your life, he upgrades you again. All right, let me test one scepter that I have. Let me test it. I'm going to, if I say the name of Jesus, say amen. We'll do it like 4 to 7 times. Can we try it? Okay. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. All I'm saying is that the name of Jesus and the presence of God is dropping on people. In the name of Jesus. That's all I'm saying. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
The Lord is serving a drink. A drink that is drink indeed. I see a lady bound. There is something like a belt on your waist. It's a spiritual belt that I see. And Jesus is breaking that belt. He's breaking that chain. I say, break, 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 break.
Seminandole. Si amica laico berale, si amica ye, aiko sana mela. Alright, the heavens are open now. Put in your request now. Put in your request. Put in your request. Put in your request. This is the time. Put in your request now. Hey, hey. Hey, 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 oh, 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 oh.
You can hold hands with your neighbor to your left and to your right. We need to spread this fire all over this place tonight. Maradive cospredientes paradido. Eshita menemende febedusa de camanaya. Some resident demon must pack out today. Some sicknesses must die here tonight. Pain, every pain, 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 long standing sicknesses and diseases. We are sweeping, we are mopping, we are cleansing. We are sanitizing. Lasta braga de manema korebadia saya. I'm hearing this song in my spirit. As we begin to sing this song of thanksgiving, okay, do, 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 okay, do, okay, okay. Shadima katabaya danana maya. Ereti bele kajebele kajebayotaya. Ede riba kosta debele danana danana ma. Mere debaya kabala baje danana danana baya danana. Oh, 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 do 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 do. Oh.
Listen, hold on. As he was ending and he was praying in the spirit and singing in tongues, that was what I was hearing. I was hearing the tongue. The song he was singing was what I was hearing. I was hearing him, he was singing in tongues, but that was what I was hearing him sing. And as we were singing that song, the Spirit of God said to say to someone here, you came here very depressed. You thought your life is hanging by a thread. But as you sing that song and you begin to worship him, that heaviness, that demonic weight that has been put on you, designed to cause you to leave this earth, will be lifted from your life. And that song of thanksgiving you will sing, by the reason of the things that God will do. And that song is the down payment of that which God has done in your life. Lift up your hands tonight and let's give him thanks. No, 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 no,
Kirido. Oh, Kirido. Organado, organado. Hey. Kirido, Kirido.
Organado. Organado. Father, from the depth of our heart, we are grateful for the things that you have done. The ones we know and the ones we do not know. The ones we can feel, the ones we cannot feel. The ones we see, the ones we cannot see. Take all the thanks and all the praise. Thank you for your servant. Thank you for your holy presence. Thank you for the word you've taught us tonight. Thank you for it is in your light we see light. Thank you, Abba Father. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name. Let's put our hands together tonight. You may be seated. Please be seated.